wins a bowl game.
Welcome to the State of the Gamecocks podcast. Here are your hosts, Brooks and Drew.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the State of the Gamecocks podcast. My name is Brooks Davis, joined alongside by my co-host, Drew Bonds. Drew, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Just got the car kind of cleaned out, getting some stuff ready to go for our ride down to Statesboro here in a couple days. These road trips early on in the year, if you know the season's going well, like Jack States is, are sometimes my favorite games of the year. So I'm really excited for the drive down to Statesboro and get some good food and see a stadium that I haven't seen before and one that everybody says is really, really nice. So that'll be good to see and looking forward to the matchup of the week.
Yeah, for sure. I'm really excited to make this trip somewhere that never been before. Like you said, a stadium we've never been to. Looking for some good food and places to see. And just really excited for matchup between the Gamecocks and the Eagles. I think they were never Golden Eagles. Never mind. Anyways, we'll jump straight into it. So, Jack State, Georgia Southern this week. Georgia Southern actually opens up as a 3.5-point favorite, according to ESPN at least, and that surprises me.
I don't really understand that at all. But you know, to be fair to Georgia Southern, I mean they've had a really tough couple of games. You start the season out in California against Fresno, and then you double down on that by getting Southern Cal. I know they stayed in California last week, but you know, maybe that has something to do with it. They were expected to be relatively competitive there in the Sun Belt, so I'm sure they're hanging on to some of that still. But, yeah, they didn't look good the first two games. JSU has looked really good. I know that JSU hasn't played anybody the caliber of Southern Cal, but, you know, it just kind of is what it is right now. 3.5 points, you know, horses don't read the odds, neither does Jack State. So I'm not worried about that part.
Yeah, no, like you said, you know, we had the opening game against UCF, and I guess that's the closest caliber team that we can compare ourselves to with Georgia Southern. And if you're looking at that, I forgot who UCF played last week, but you know they walloped them, and we played a very competitive game with them, a lot closer than what Georgia Southern did with Fresno and USC. And I know we'll see about Fresno, but there's a lot of high expectations for USC, and honestly, they didn't play bad. I went back and watched the clips today. They didn't play bad against them either. I didn't think they were just USC's just, you know, loads better. Something else too, I was looking at, we have actually, you know, we've played, Georgia Southern a few times in the past, mostly in the, a couple of times in the FCS playoffs or FCS 1AA playoffs at the time. And we've never actually had a win against it. Well, we have, but according to Winsipedia, they don't know the final score, the date, or even where the game was at. They just apparently they just know that Jack State won. But excuse me, that we won 19-13. And I think it was back in the 30s or something. But other than
1934.
Yeah. So I don't know that we'll officially count that one. So we'll say we're looking for our first ever win against the Eagles. This will be our first time playing them since 2002. And I would, they hadn't made the jump. So, that would have been in the playoffs too. Got beat 3-41. And that was around the time when Georgia Southern was, dominating 1AA, coming off national championships with Irk Russell and all that, and leading into their, won a couple more national championships with Paul Johnson. I know they won one. But looking ahead to this matchup, like I said, Georgia Southern favored by 3.5. So going back and watching their clips against USC, some of the things I noticed, this has the potential to be an offensive shootout to me. And, you know, obviously Georgia Southern's gotten away from the triple option days. They're much more modern offense. JC French isn't a bad quarterback. I know his numbers hasn't, just blown anybody away so far. But you know, like I said, I was watching some of their clips, and there was four or five passes where he put the ball in a perfect spot where only the receiver could grab it. After they got a They got a hot start. USC got the ball to open the game, fumbled on a run play, and then like two or three plays later, found, I think it was Camden Brown in the corner of the end zone, and he just mossed somebody, mossed the USC DB. It was a beautiful pass, had a good little bit of zip on it. Like I said, put it where only he could get it. But I say this could be an offensive shootout too, because you know they're going to want to throw the ball a good bit. But I think that their defensive backs remind me a little bit of ours in that they play coverage very soft. There was a lot of, and again, I know USC has higher quality caliber athletes, but there was a lot of plays where receivers were just standing in the open. Defensive backs were, only about 5 yards off the receiver. So, unless we tighten up, we did better from USC to Liberty, but there's still, still a lot of DBs just kind of staying and watching the receiver. And I know that comes with zone coverage a little bit, but I think that, we're really going to have to tighten up here. Defensive backfield. That's one of the key things that stand out to me.
They're going to throw the ball. They threw it 36 and a half times between, game one and game two. So they're averaging, 37 passes a game. They're going to throw it. Now they're, completion percentage is down at, around 56%. They played some, like you said, some tough competition. They're running it for 113 yards a game. They are balanced, but they're going to throw the ball 30 plus times and really try to exploit the Gamecock secondary, kind of the way Liberty did. So we'll see kind of how that goes. Now, the biggest thing for Jack State this game, and what should make JSU fans feel like they're going to go down there and win a football game, is they're giving up 330 on the ground per game. Now, it's been two games. That's great and wonderful. So that number gets inflated by USC. But I don't care if they're playing the Chiefs. They're giving up 8.5 per carry on defense, and then that should play right into JSU's strengths as far as hand the ball to Cam Cook 25, 30 times, let him go win you the football game. Same there with Andrew Paul or Gavin Wimsatt on a keeper. Like, the defense has not been good against the run for Georgia Southern, so their quality of competition may have something to do with that, but still, I don't care who you're playing. You can't give up 8.5 per carry and expect to be successful. And if JSU can have the same kind of success that USC or Fresno did on the ground, then I really expect a big offensive day from JSU. The same could be said for Georgia Southern if they are successful in throwing the football. So that's kind of modus operandi number one for Jack State, is continue to do what you did last week against Liberty, which is let your offensive line have a field day and then let Cam Cook go for 150 plus again, and you're going to find yourself in pretty good shape.
Yeah, I honestly don't think that, the game plan necessarily changes a whole lot.
It shouldn't change at all.
No, it really should. I think we might, because I think they're going to see holes in that defensive backfield, they'll probably throw it a little bit more, but it depends on, I think a lot of that's going to depend on how Wimsatt starts the game. Kelly talked pretty highly of his progression from week one to week two, and that's going to have to take another step, because we are eventually going to reach a point where we need to move the ball down the field and chunk plays. I think that can come from Cam Cook here and there, and we'll see about Andrew Paul too, but even just hitting him on screen on a toss out screen or a tunnel screen over the middle, something to, get a little bit more yards per play, I guess. But other than that, I don't see this game plan changing too much from how they prepared for Liberty. They're very similar, at least from what I've seen of Georgia Southern. Liberty and Georgia Southern are pretty similar in how they like to run their offense. Similar to last week too. I think a lot of it's going to depend on you know, if we're going to be able to get to, we're going to be able to get to French. And I got full confidence in that front seven to be able to. They, you know, they did it against USC. They did it all day against Liberty. So a lot of the same key points. If we can stay, if the pass coverage can tighten up a little bit, and we can stay in French's office for most of the game, keep him rattled. I think we're going to be fine.
Yeah, I agree. And just some names to look out for there for Georgia Southern, especially on the receiving side of it. Dalen Cobb leads them in receptions there with 9, but it's really going to be likely Camden Brown, who's only got 7 catches this year, but he's got 7 catches for 130 yards and 3 touchdowns. So he hasn't gotten a lion's share of the targets, it seems, but when he does catch the ball, he seems to be quite the playmaker. You know, yet he scored 3 touchdowns, and the team doesn't have but, you know, 5-6 touchdowns total. So he seems to be having a good start. So those will be the two guys. Josh Dallas, wide receiver's got 8 catches as well. So there should be 3 guys there for JSU to kind of look out for in the passing game. Doesn't seem like they throw the ball much at the tight ends. Amon Green, as their leading tight end, just has 3 catches. So really, Dalen Cobb, Josh Dallas, and Camden Brown will be the 3 big pieces for JSU secondary to look out for. Same there on the ground. OJ Arnold will be their leading tailback. He's got 17 carries on the year for 86 yards. He'll get the lion's share of the carries there for Georgia Southern. JC French has not been good running the football. He's got 11 carries for 13, and I know that takes into account sack yards, so that number gets a little bit inflated, but he does not seem like he is running the ball very much. He's much more of a pocket passer, at least at this point in the year. Things can change, obviously. But yeah, key success for Jack State, control time possession, run the football effectively, take care of the football, and they should, you know, find themselves in good position. And then if your secondary can play a little bit better than last week, then, you know, you're talking about a team that Jack State can blow out. You know, those three long touchdowns that Liberty had, you take those off the board, and that game's a 21 or 24 point game last week. If you kind of control the passing game here and you don't let French hit, like we said, Dallas or Cobb for big completions and big touchdowns, and I think JSU can go down to Statesboro and come away with a same thing, a 15 or 20 point victory, because I do have such faith in Jack State to run the football and get after French that if Jack State secondary can take a little step forward from last week, I think they'll be in really good shape.
Yeah, for sure. I'm not too stressed out about this game. I guess it's going to be a little bit different because this is going to be Georgia Southern's first home game. An opponent that we haven't seen in years. I think it's going to be a little bit raucous environment, but the way they kind of adapted and got a better flow against UCF in a much louder, you know, a much bigger stadium, much louder environment. I don't think they should have any problem with that, especially by third game of the year. And you know, we saw how much more comfortable the whole team was, you know, playing together, developing that chemistry, being in sync with each other, both you know, on the field and on the sidelines. I think we should. This game going forward, we should start to see a little bit more of, I guess, a mold, or however you would say it, of familiarity of what to expect from Jack State. I'm not super stressed out the game. I think we'll be all right. The keys to the game are pretty cut and dry.
We're learning more about the football team. They are, yeah, it seems, very similar to last year's team as far as they're going to be extremely run first. Now, if Wimsatt could, you know, progress as a passer throughout the year, you know, like, they ran the ball so much last year that we didn't talk about Tyler Huff throwing the ball much. And in the bowl game, it's like, oh my God, he can throw. Now, I know they didn't win the game, but he threw for like 300 plus in the bowl game. We were like, you know, we could have done this all year, and you know, it's what they won 9 games last year, so it doesn't really matter. But You know, the team's very similar to last year. The defense, I think, is a lot better. The running game is very similar. So if Wimsatt takes that next step to be able to throw the ball more and keep defenses honest, you know, I think the team has the chance to be really, really, really good. But until then, they're going to lean on the run game, lean on the offensive line, and Rick Trickett's big uglies down there. And I think they're going to have success in Statesboro. Speaking of success in Statesboro, real quick before we move on to the rest of the games around the conference, score prediction, we do that every week. So I've got Jack State 31, Georgia Southern 17. So it'll be a 14-point victory. I know Jack State's an underdog going down there. We talked about that already. I don't really think that's very accurate. But I do have JSU 31 and Georgia Southern 17. Brooks, what do you have?
I'm going to say Jack State 28, Georgia Southern 17. Just because, it is a road game. Road games are always tough. It doesn't matter where you play in the country. Unless you're, playing Little Sisters of the Poor. But I think, like I said, as much more comfortable as they've gotten playing with each other over the last 3 weeks, and, of course, all throughout fall camp, I think we're, coming off a big victory against Liberty, I think this is really where we're going to start hitting our stride and play more consistent football. I think that obviously they're going to make a big emphasis to try and put a stop on the run with Cam Cook. And, like I said, we'll see about Andrew Paul. But I expect Wimsatt to take that next step from what he did even last week, hitting receivers in the numbers, hitting them in stride, continuing to be smart on the move, when to pull the trigger to run, when to not, stuff. I expect him to continue to progress, and really, like I said, really start to hit his stride this week. And Georgia Southern's talented. They're going to score. It has the potential to be close, kind of late in the game, kind of like the Liberty game was, but I think ultimately we're going to be a little bit too much. I would be very curious as to why, to talk to some people though and see why Georgia Southern's favored in this game. It may just because we don't know a ton about Georgia Southern after their first two opponents, and they had some good spots here and there, but that was just kind of surprising to me a little bit.
Yeah, it's Vegas Group of Five doesn't really know maybe what's going on. It's kind of why I say if you're looking to make money, the best way to do that is be really, really familiar with a group of five, because I think that's kind of the one thing that you can always bet on that Vegas doesn't have very good odds for a lot of the time. But either way, real quick before we get into the conference slate for the week, Coach Kelly's press conference on Tuesday. Again, not a ton is usually said in those, it seems like, but he did mention Michael Pettway. Just said he didn't think he was quite ready. Now, Pettway was dressed before the rain delay, and then he was not dressed after the rain delay. So I wonder if that had something to do with it, but we'll see. I would expect to see him. He said he's been practicing all week, so I would expect to see him at least in some capacity. I don't know what his workload might look like, but this is his senior year. He's got to be begging to get on the field, if I had to guess. So I would certainly expect to see him sooner rather than later. And then Andrew Paul didn't get any news about him in the press conference. Expect him to play as well. He was on the depth chart in the same spot that he was last week, there behind Cam Cook. So should be hopefully a healthy group of Gamecocks going down to Statesboro. But throughout the conference, we're going to learn a lot about some teams this week. Delaware hosts UConn. Is UConn's a 9.5-point favorite, so that'll be Delaware's really first game that's kind of a coin flip. I know they played Delaware State, which they were always going to win that game by a lot. And then they went on the road to Colorado, which was not going to be a spot they could win in. So now they get UConn. We can learn a lot more about the Blue Hens. Missouri State, coming off that first FBS win in school history, is hosting SMU, which is weird. That game's on CBS Sports Network. SMU is a huge favorite there in Springfield, but good on Mo State getting to host SMU. I mean, JSU hasn't hosted anybody of that caliber, really even close to that caliber, since they've moved up. So good on Mo State getting to host a big-time team there in SMU. UTEP goes on the road to Texas. Have fun. Liberty goes to Bowling Green, and I am very, very interested to see what Liberty team shows up. Really, maybe just see how they bounce back after the Jack State loss. You know, Bowling Green beat Lafayette 26-7, and then they went on the road to Cincinnati last week and got beat by 14. So not sure what the Falcons have going on down there, but interested to see what Liberty team shows up on the road in Bowling Green coming off a big loss. Middle Tennessee goes to Nevada. They are 9.5-point underdogs there. And then we have the, I think they call it the Shula Bowl with FAU and FIU. So that'll be FIU's first real test as far as what's going to be a close game. You know, they got their FCS warm-up and then had to go to Penn State last week. So FIU will learn a little bit more about them as well. Kennesaw will host Merrimack, should get their first win of the year. And then finally, our only conference game of the week, New Mexico State is on the road in Ruston in a game that Louisiana Tech is 10.5-point favorite in. I think that's a pretty good line, actually. I do expect the Bulldogs to win by a couple touchdowns there, but that'll be an early test for a team that I think could compete to get in the conference title game this year, because I think Louisiana Tech has a really good defense, and if their offense can take a little bit of a step forward, then they're going to win a lot of games. So excited to see that one. That one's at 6:30, so that's about the same time Jack State kicks off there in Ruston. But Brooks, big slate this week. I think UConn, Delaware, Liberty, Bowling Green, and then the FAU-FIU matchup, along with that conference game in Ruston, are the big matchups of the week. Any of those stick out to you?
Yeah, I look at this slate, and I see this as the week that we really find out who, you know, what the conference is made of, you know, who these programs really are. You know, you just went through that list, and it could be the same case for Jack State. You know, did we just, you know, catch lightning in a bottle and take advantage of another rain delay to make the adjustments that we need to early on against Liberty? You know, are we for real? You're really not dropping off from last year conference wise? Delaware, you know, see what they're made of against a decent UConn team. Can Missouri State keep the momentum going against SMU? I don't think so, because I think SMU is probably going to be pretty decent. They got, you know, blew it against Baylor last week, but I think SMU is going to be pretty decent. Texas is going to blow out UTEP, but no hate against UTEP. I think that's just the way it's going to be. Yeah, that Liberty Bowling Green game is really interesting to see how Vasco and Chadwell and you know, get this team to respond coming off a loss that, you know, they were favored by a touchdown in. It'd be interesting to, you know, talk about which versions of teams that we see. Middle Tennessee and Nevada is one to me. Yep. You know, are we going to see the Middle Tennessee that got blown out by Austin Peay, or are we going to see the Middle Tennessee that, you know, held with their own against Wisconsin? And I know Wisconsin's, you know, not any, you know, the fall off of Wisconsin needs to be studied to me, but for them to, you know, have a good showing, again. Yeah. As good a showing as you can ask for this middle team against Wisconsin, see how they, you know, try and bounce back and get their first win of the year. FAU and FIU could be as a potential B matchup of the week. Obviously, you know, the big one in conference or interconference play is Mexico State, Louisiana Tech. But I think we're going to figure out this week if Kewan Jenkins and FIU are the real deal or not. And then Kennesaw ought to be able to, honestly, didn't know Merrimack even had a football team. I know they're decent at basketball, but they ought to get their first win of the year. Maybe build a little bit of momentum to go with a strong performance against Wake Forest too. But yeah, obviously the big ones, New Mexico State and Louisiana Tech. Can Louisiana Tech build off that strong performance against LSU? New Mexico State not scoring a whole lot of points, but from the looks of it, their defense is pretty stout. Only giving up 14 to Tulsa. And of course, 3 to Bryant, which again, no, Bryant's not anything to write home about. But for a lot of people, picking them to be last in the conference, or you know, close to last in the conference, and to, you know, start off 2-0, I would imagine to them it's a big deal. You know, like, and like you said too, can Louisiana Tech be that team that we expect to make it make a significant jump and start climbing their way towards a potential Conference USA championship game appearance? It's a lot of interesting matchups this week. But yeah, I think this is the week that we really figure out what Conference USA is made of.
Yeah, I agree. And one quick fun note, the fun note of the week, I guess. I'm going to say it's pronounced Chuba. I don't think it's Chuba. Chuba Purdy is Nevada's quarterback, his younger brother of Brock Purdy. So there's your fun note of the week for Middle Tennessee going down to Nevada. They'll get to see a Purdy at quarterback. So, yeah, but beyond that, that'll wrap up the conference slate for the week. Like I said early on, very, very excited to go down to Statesboro and get to eat good food and get to see hopefully an ass whooping there from Jack State against a team that, you know, historically we've struggled against because they were, you know, powerhouses like Brooks said in the 1AA level back in the early mid 2000s, and we didn't have a lot of great success against them. So we can right a lot of wrongs on Saturday with a good performance. I expect to see one. I expect actually to get on there and win. So we'll obviously keep you guys updated on Twitter. A lot of pictures, a lot of videos, some fun stuff we get to do while we're down in Statesboro. And we will talk to you guys again probably on Sunday this week because we'll probably get that reaction episode recorded after the game Saturday night. We'll be in a Red Roof Inn, I think, Brooks.
We're going beautiful cheap Red Roof Inn.
So we're going to the Red Roof Inn. So we'll probably talk to you guys live from the Red Roof Inn on not live, but recorded on the Red Roof Inn on Sunday morning. And beyond that, we'll talk to you guys about a Jack State victory.
See y'all in Statesboro.